One, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Brian Lin and Anna Mateo. Later, Steve Ember will present our American history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Brian Lin.
A woman who lost her home in the Ukraine war is finding hope from flowers that survived the destruction. Anna Shevchenko loved gardening around her home in Irpin. The town is outside Ukraine's capital, Kyiv. The 35-year-old schoolteacher says she felt a calming effect while caring for her plants, flowers, and trees. Shevchenko fled Irpin around March 10th with other family members as the Russian military intensified its offensive in an attempt to capture Kyiv. Her father stayed behind, hoping to save the family home. But he was also forced to leave when the Russian shelling intensified and got closer to the neighborhood. Most of the home was destroyed in the conflict. Shevchenko recently returned to Irpin and spoke to reporters from the Associated Press. The main part of the home had been flattened and reduced to a collection of rubble. Before returning, Shevchenko was able to see a picture of the destroyed home. She told reporters her grandparents had built the home brick by brick. "I tried to prepare myself to see it with my own eyes," she said. Shevchenko added, "And then the next moment I looked and I saw the flowers." She could see some living flowers that she had dutifully cared for during happier times. Among them were a small group of daffodils and a small peony that rose above the destruction. Some were damaged but not broken. Her tulips were starting to bloom. "It was new life," she said, "so I tried to save my flowers." A long piece of concrete now serves as protection for the peony, which has grown new leaves. She removed a large piece of plastic from her flowering peach tree and watered a small lily plant that had risen from under a piece of concrete. By the time winter began turning into spring, Shevchenko's family had already paid a heavy price in Russia's war against Ukraine. On the same day they lost their home, Shevchenko's father lost his leg to an explosion as he tried to flee Irpin. Her father is a man in his early 60s who had been very active and loved to ride his bicycle. Now he almost never leaves the apartment where he has been staying since being released from the hospital. The father has not yet seen what happened to his home. He also has not seen his bicycle, which lies smashed under broken bricks in an area that used to be his front garden. Shevchenko said her grandparents built one part of the house for her mother, then added on another part for her uncle, which she had been living in. The addition of the house was damaged but not totally destroyed. As Shevchenko looked at the rubble, she wondered whether it was possible to save anything, or if the whole house should be torn down and rebuilt. Even with all of the destruction and her father's serious injury, Shevchenko says at least her family members are still alive. Now, when she watches new life rise from the earth in the middle of so much destruction, it gives her hope for the future. "We have another chance," she said, "to live." I'm Brian Lynn.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Health and Lifestyle Report. In English, there is an expression that goes like this. Laugh, and the world laughs with you. Cry, and you cry alone. It suggests that people do not want to share in the sadness of others. But what if sharing our sadness actually helps us feel better? That was the goal of Natalie Eve Garrett when she thought of collecting stories about loneliness. In the book, The Lonely Stories, 22 celebrated writers on the joys and struggles of being alone, Garrett wanted to share personal stories of loneliness. Garrett said she hopes the stories give people suffering from loneliness comfort and perhaps even joy.
I think we all have felt alone. I mean, we all feel lonely, and we all will continue to feel lonely sometimes. I think when we read about varied experiences, it can be a way of using loneliness and aloneness to connect with each other.
The writers and stories in this collection are all very different. Some are tragic, such as the death of a loved one, while others are lighter, such as feeling alone at a Star Trek event. This variety is something Garrett wanted readers to also experience. The book project was sold in 2019. And then COVID-19 spread around the world. Suddenly, isolation became a part of nearly everyone's lives. People were separated from friends, family members, co-workers, and neighbors. At the same time, many people were forced to be around their immediate families all the time. For some, this led to a different kind of loneliness, a loneliness for one's self. The book The Lonely Stories also deals with the challenges of a lack of solitude, or, as we often call it, alone time. Garrett talked about the difference between loneliness and solitude.
They're not the same. You know, I think of loneliness as a feeling of lack. Solitude, I think, is chosen, whereas loneliness happens to us.
A writer and a painter, Garrett found being in quarantine with her two young daughters both good and bad. She was able to spend much time with her family, but this also meant she did not have time to paint. When talking about the lack of time to herself, Garrett used the words longing and crave. Both mean to deeply want something.
During the pandemic, I really found myself longing for alone time. I have two small children. They're 9 and 11, and we were all quarantining at home together. which, while joyful, I felt so often disconnected from myself and really craved just more time to be with myself, to have time to paint and sort of reconnect.
While most of the stories were written during the pandemic, only a few writers deal with the pandemic directly. In the story, On Witness and Respair, Jesmyne Ward writes about her husband dying at the beginning of the pandemic. Her whole family caught what they thought was just a severe flu. Her husband did not survive. In Exodus 2020, Emily Rabiteau describes the emptying of a large apartment building where she lives in New York City. One by one, neighbors and friends left the city for safer places to live during the pandemic. Several writers describe the loneliness of leaving their culture. Jhumpa Lahiri's Trading Stories is about her parents' struggle to fit into a different culture and how that affected her life and work. Writer Jean Kwok shares the experience of her family moving from Hong Kong to New York City. They lost everything, money, jobs, and more. In Perpetual Foreigner, she wrote, "But the heavy price was losing our language, our friends, our culture, and in some ways, one another." Some of the writers wrote about choosing to be alone for personal or creative reasons, and the challenges they faced. In Main Man, Lev Grossman wrote about nearly losing his mind. While in his 20s, he chose to work on a book in a small town, isolated from other people. In the story Javelinas, Claire Dederer wrote about facing her alcohol addiction during a period of solitude. And in Am I Still Here?, Anthony Doerr, a man addicted to the internet, wrote of his struggle to turn off social media and reconnect with nature and himself. Loneliness is not just a mental state. It can also lead to serious physical health problems. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services National Institute on Aging says that loneliness and isolation can be harmful for older people. Loneliness can lead to high blood pressure, heart disease, depression, a decrease in mental abilities, and even death. Younger people are not protected against the harm of loneliness either. Researchers at Harvard University have found that in the United States, loneliness has increased in young adults and others since the beginning of the pandemic. The Harvard study was released in February of 2021. It suggests that 36% of all Americans feel serious loneliness. This includes 61% of young adults and 51% of mothers with young children. Garrett told VOA that sharing stories of loneliness is a way to bring attention to the problem and to feel connected to others. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember. We begin the story of the presidency of George W. Bush. His first term came to be defined by the worst terrorist attack against the United States in the nation's history. George W. Bush had been in office for less than 8 months when the events of September 11th, 2001 took place.
Plane has crashed into one of the towers of the World Trade Center.
Good Lord, this is just a horrific moment.
The day is remembered as 9/11. On that morning, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists hijacked 4 large passenger airplanes on the East Coast. The planes were flying to California, so they were heavy with fuel. Each group of hijackers included a trained pilot. American Airlines Flight 11 had just left Boston, Massachusetts, when 5 hijackers seized control of the plane.
Is that American 11 trying to call?
We have some planes. Just stay quiet and you'll be okay. We're returning to the airport.
American 11, are you trying to call?
Number 3 in the back. The cockpit's not answering. Somebody's stabbed in business class. And I think there's mace that we can't breathe. I don't know. I think we're getting hijacked.
Nobody move. Everything will be okay. If you try to make any move, you'll danger yourself and the airplane. Let's stay quiet.
Shortly before 9 o'clock, the hijackers crashed the Boeing 767 into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York City.
A plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center. It happened just a few moments ago.
The World Trade Center, tower number 1, is on fire. The whole outside of the building, it was just a huge explosion.
5 other hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 175, another Boeing 767, also on a flight from Boston.
Hey, can you look out your window right now? Can you see a guy at about 4,000 feet, about 5 East Airport right now? Looks like he's...
Yeah, hi, Sam.
You see a guy, look, is he descending for the building also?
He's descending really quick, too, yeah.
Well, that's...
2,500 feet now. He just dropped 800 feet in like one sweep.
That's another situation.
Another one just hit the building.
Well,
hit it hard.
The whole building just came apart. They crashed the jet into the South Tower of the World Trade Center a short time after the first plane hit the North Tower.
Oh, my God.
That looks like a second plane. You just saw another plane coming in from the side.
You did. That was out of...
Yes, and that's the second explosion. You could see the plane come in. So this looks like it is some sort of a concerted... effort to attack the World Trade Center that is underway in downtown New York.
The Twin Towers each had 110 floors. They were the tallest buildings in New York and among the tallest in the world. They stood a few streets away from the New York Stock Exchange in the heart of the Wall Street Financial District in Lower Manhattan.
Goodness, there's another one.
The planes exploded in fireballs that sent clouds of smoke pouring from the skyscrapers. Thousands of people were in the buildings. Many workers on the floors below where the planes hit were able to escape. Others on the floors above were trapped. Some apparently felt their only choice was between burning to death and jumping. News cameras showed disturbing images of bodies falling from the towers. The South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed just before 10 o'clock, after burning for almost an hour. The North Tower came down about 30 minutes later. It had been hit first and had burned for 1 hour and 42 minutes.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed, as if a demolition team set off, when you see the old demolitions of these old buildings, down on itself, and it is not there anymore.
Investigators later found that the intense fires from the jet fuel, burning for as long as they had caused the structures to fail. The ruins of the two buildings quickly became known as Ground Zero. Several other buildings in the World Trade Center complex were damaged or destroyed as a result of the collapse of the Twin Towers.
Another group of hijackers took over American Airlines Flight 77, a Boeing 757. The plane had taken off from Washington Dulles International Airport.
Okay, American Airlines is still airborne. He's heading towards Washington. I think we need to scramble Langley right now, and I'm gonna take the fighters from Otis and try to chase this guy down if I can find
him. Mick Leshefsky has some new information at the Pentagon. I hope you'll stand by and continue to talk with us. Mick?
Katie, I don't want to alarm anybody right now, but it felt just a few moments ago like there was an explosion of some kind here at the Pentagon.
The hijackers crashed the plane into the Pentagon, the Department of Defense headquarters, across the Potomac River from Washington in Arlington, Virginia.
We're on the E-ring of the Pentagon. We have a window that faces out toward the Potomac, toward the Kennedy Center. We haven't been able to see or hear anything after the initial blast. I just stepped out in the hallway. Security guards were herding people out of the building. And I saw just a moment ago as I looked outside, a number of construction workers who have been working here have taken flight. They're running as far away from the building as they can right now.
The plane exploded a hole into one of the five sides of the huge building. And four hijackers seized United Airlines Flight 93, another 757. That plane had taken off from Newark, New Jersey.
United 93, that traffic to you is 1 o'clock, 12 miles east on 370.
Negative contact, we're looking at United 93.
People on the flight learned about the terrorist attacks in New York and Washington through phone calls to loved ones.
It looks like he descended there.
United 93, verify 350.
United 93, Cleveland.
Go ahead, Cleveland.
Do you have United 93 south of Chardon?
We hear some funny noises. We're trying to get him. Do you have him?
No.
Some of the 40 passengers and crew members fought to retake control of the plane from the hijackers.
United 93 was waving his wings as he went past the VFR aircraft. They don't quite know what that means. Rocking his wings.
Air traffic controllers and law enforcement officials struggled to make sense of the events taking place that morning.
United 93, have you got information on that yet?
Yeah, he's down.
He's down?
Yes.
When did he land? Because we have confirmation.
He did not land.
Down?
Yes, somewhere up northeast of Camp David.
Okay, there is now on that United 93,
yes,
there is a report of black smoke in the last position I gave you, 15 miles south of Johnstown.
Flight 93 crashed in a field near the small town of Shanksville, Pennsylvania. The intended target for Flight 93 may have been the Capitol, the building where Congress meets. No one could be sure if other airliners were involved in the terrorist operation.
The Federal Aviation Administration has actually gone even further than it did a few minutes ago. It was asking all planes not to take off. Now the FAA has ordered all aircraft currently in the air over the United States to land at the nearest airport.
Air traffic controllers began the complex job of getting all planes across the country and those heading in over the Atlantic onto the ground safely.
So this meant at very early in the morning, as flights were halfway across the Atlantic Ocean to land in the United States, we had already initiated protocols to shut those arrivals off from the oceanic areas, and they had to make tough decisions such as either turn around and go back to Europe or go to alternate destinations, which many of them did in Canada.
Canadian officials assisted. They allowed flights from across the Atlantic to land in eastern Canada, including at airports in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and Gander, Newfoundland. Almost 3,000 people died in the 9/11 attacks.
You got it coming in for building number 2 on the 97th floor. People trapped.
91 floor. We're all around the building. We're completely around the building. We're into the building now. Okay.
Most of the victims worked in the World Trade Center. The victims also included rescuers, among them 343 New York City firefighters. They died trying to save others. Pictures of missing persons began to appear in the city as loved ones waited and worried. 3 days after the attacks, President Bush went to Ground Zero. He spoke to the rescue workers and promised that the attacks would be answered.
I want you all to know, America today is on bended knee. In prayer, we ask the Lord to send them safely for the people whose lives were lost here, for the workers who work here, for the families who mourn. This nation stands with the good people of New York City and New Jersey and Connecticut as we mourn the loss of thousands of our citizens. I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Each day, thousands of visitors came to see the site and to honor those who died. At the Pentagon, people left flowers and messages of sympathy near the heavily damaged wall. 184 people died in the attack on the Pentagon, including the victims on the plane. It took months to clear the wreckage of the Twin Towers. The attacks in New York changed the distinctive skyline of Lower Manhattan. The Twin Towers, completed in 1973, were gone. The economic effects of 9/11 were felt far beyond America's largest city. The New York Stock Exchange stayed closed until September 17th. When it reopened, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, a measure of leading stocks, fell by what was then its biggest point drop ever in a single day. Among the companies most affected by the attacks were airlines and other businesses that depend on travelers. The nation's skies were empty of commercial flights for 3 days after the hijackings. And when flights returned to normal, many people were too afraid to fly. Thousands of hotel workers and others in the travel industry lost their jobs. The shock and sadness of the 9/11 attacks brought Americans together less than a year after the disputed presidential election. In a show of patriotism, more and more American flags began to appear on homes, cars, and businesses. Small American flag pins were worn by many Americans. The attacks pointed to the work of Osama bin Laden and his Al-Qaeda organization. On September 20th, President Bush went before a joint session of Congress to declare a war on terror.
Our war on terror begins with Al-Qaeda, but it does not end there. It will not end until every terrorist group of global reach has been found, stopped, and defeated.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.